verse 12, that he is the light of the world. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The occasion for this statement was the Feast of Tabernacles. And during the Feast of Tabernacles, this is one of the Jewish feasts that was celebrated, there was a lamp lighting ceremony. Every evening during the festival, a priest would light the three huge torches on the menorah, or lampstand, in the woman's court, or treasury of the temple. These lights would illuminate the entire temple compound throughout the night. People would bring smaller torches into the temple precincts to light them, and sing and dance, sometimes all through the night. It was one of the happiest occasions of the entire Jewish year. Now, one author put it this way, note the brilliant candelabra were lit only at the beginning of the Feast of Tabernacles. There is dispute as to the number of lights on which illumination took place, but none to the fact that at the close of the feast it did not. In the absence of lights, Jesus claimed to be light, the light, who would stand out as the one who would stand out. So what he's saying here is, at the beginning of the feast, there were lights lit, but at the end, there weren't. And it was in that context that Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You know, Jesus' birth is preceded by light. Jesus came to a dark, sin-cursed earth. And we know that since Adam, the world is under a curse. The world is subject to sickness, to death, to illness. And Jesus Christ brought light to this world. We see this in the shepherd's message, the message to the shepherds. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. We're going to read Luke chapter 2, verse 7. We normally turn to Luke's gospel for the Christmas story. We're going to read part of that this evening. Luke chapter 2. Verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them. And notice here, the glory of the Lord shone around them. This was the Shekinah glory of the Lord, the brilliant brightness of the Lord that lit up that night sky. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Notice this message is for everyone. Everyone. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. In Matthew's account, Matthew 1:21, we don't have to look at that, turn there, but Matthew indicates that Jesus is what kind of Savior? Jesus did not come in his first coming as a political Savior. Jesus did not come as a social Savior. Jesus came as a spiritual Savior. The name Jesus is given because Jesus, he will save his people from their sins. And that's the type of salvation a lot of people don't realize. You're looking for some kind of political solution for our problems. You're looking for a social solution. But really, we need to look down in our own heart. We need spiritual deliverance. We need Jesus Christ and his salvation. We need everlasting life. And that only comes to faith in the Savior, the one who brought light to this dark world. And this you'll find a sign to you, you shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now, We know that this occurred. Usually when we see a manger scene, we see the wise men there and the shepherds and Mary and Joseph all at the same time and baby Jesus. But really, biblically, the wise men came around 2 years later. They came to a house, not a manger. And we have the account of light also in Matthew chapter 2. So let's take a look at Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Matthew chapter 2, verse 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who had been born king of the Jews?" Notice this phrase, "For we have seen his star in the east." It didn't say a star. It says his star. His star in the east. And as a result of that, they have come to worship him. Now, do you realize that the Magi here, the wise men, were astrologers? Now, it doesn't mean that astrology is commended by God. But early on in Babylonia, they worshiped the stars, but Daniel came along, 600 B.C. And Daniel was the head of these Babylonian astrologers. And he taught them the Word of God. He taught them that the Messiah would come within a period of time. And we have the amazing time clock prophecy of Daniel's 70th week. And Daniel, I think, because of Daniel's teaching, he also taught them about another star in the book of Numbers that would be related to the birth of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of this prophecy, I think they were looking. They were looking for a star. Now, I don't know if you've noticed Venus tonight. Venus is out tonight. And that usually appears in the morning or evening. Venus is close to the sun because Venus is between the earth and the sun. It never varies far away from sun, either after sunset or before sunrise. But Venus is normally described as the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star. And the star here, though, was not Venus. Okay? The star was not a comet. Now, we sing a Christmas hymn with a tail as big as a kite. You know that Christmas hymn? And that assumes that that star was a comet. But no. This star was totally different than any other star. If we study the biblical record, we see this star could not be a physical star. It was the personal star of the King of the Jews, his star, first of all. Secondly, this star appears and disappears. It appears and reappears later. Thirdly, this star moves from east to west. East to west. Now, some people have this misconception of a comet that it streaks across the sky. Now, meteors do that and they burn up in the atmosphere. Comets normally, although they're moving quickly through space, appearance-wise, they appear basically in the same location. So this is not a comet. It moves from east to west. It moves from north to south. There's no star like that. No comet, no planet like that. And then finally, it hovers over one house in Bethlehem. Now that would eliminate any star, comet, planet. And so this was, I believe, and Frutenbaum tends to agree that this was the Shekinah glory of God. This was God's presence. And it was God's Shekinah glory that appeared to the shepherds. And then two years later, the Shekinah glory of God appeared to the wise men. The Greek word for star means to shine brightly or brilliance. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's a physical star. We see stars at night. But the word in the Greek simply means something that's brilliant or bright. And therefore, this form of light is the presence of God. Now, in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory of God appeared in the temple. God's presence localized. And so, God is showing, I think, here that he has come to dwell with man. It's a precursor of the birth of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been studying the Gospel of John in John chapter 1. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His what? Glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So in the Old Testament, the Shekinah glory of God came in the form of light, fire, or cloud, or some combination of these three things. The children of Israel were led through the wilderness with a pillar of cloud in the day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, how did these wise men know about the Messianic King? I already hinted at this. 600 years earlier, Daniel was promoted over the wise men of Babylon. Now, if we look at the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48, Daniel chapter 2, verse 48, we see that Daniel interpreted this dream by Nebuchadnezzar, and he was promoted. Daniel was promoted. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over all the province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the, notice this, wise men of Babylon. Now these wise men came from the east. Normally, biblically, the east of the land of Israel would be Babylon. I think these wise men came from Babylon. And having the knowledge that Daniel gave them of the coming Messiah, they started looking. And not only the fact of Daniel's 77, but we also have a reference from another Babylonian, and his name was Balaam. Now, if we look at the book of Numbers, Numbers chapter 24, Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. We see this prophecy of Balaam, Balaam's fourth prophecy. I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob. A star shall come out of Jacob. Now, this was not a literal star. A star here is a depiction here of a king. It's symbolic here, but I think the symbolism is very clearly understood by the wise men. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel. And so this ruler would come, this messianic king, this star would appear on the scene. So Balaam's occupation, he was literally, we have others, other scriptures we won't look at, but Balaam basically was from the region or area of Babylon. And so I think Balaam conveyed this information down to the wise men, and then finally the ones in Daniel's day, and they started looking. They started looking for that Messiah. Now, Jesus' ministry was a ministry of light. In Matthew chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, Matthew chapter 4, verse 12, we see that Jesus ministered in a region near Galilee. Now, Jesus had basically two main areas of ministry during his 3.5 years of earthly ministry. He ministered around the area of Jerusalem, but primarily his home was in the region of Galilee. And we had the various tribes of Israel that certain tribes that are mentioned here in this prophecy concerning that region. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the regions of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, and notice this, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned. The ministry of Christ brought light to a dark region. Now, we know that lightness and darkness don't mix. Lightness and darkness don't mix. And there are those who reject that Jesus Christ is who he claimed to be, that he is the Messiah, that he is the Savior of the world. There are people who reject the truth of God's word. And the Bible tells us clearly how to receive the light. We need to believe the fact that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be, that he is the one who provides everlasting life. And when we place our faith in him, we have eternal life. We know the familiar verse in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his unique son, his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him," it's that simple. Simple faith in Christ. And when you do that, you have, not when you die, but right now, eternal life. "You shall not perish in the future, but have now, present tense, everlasting life." Now, people look at Christians and say Christians are a bunch of judgmental, arrogant individuals that look down their noses upon people. And that can be true of some believers, unfortunately. But I want you to listen to this verse. Why did God send his son into the world in the first coming? To condemn it? Listen to this. "For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world." And that's shocking for a lot of people. Why did he send his son? Listen to the rest of the verse. "But that the world through him might be saved." He wants everyone to go to heaven. And because of our sin condition, we can't. We're fallen. The Bible says we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And that's why God sent his son Jesus, to be our sin bearer, to take our sins upon him on that cross and be punished in our place by God the Father. And so when we believe in him, he is our only way of heaven. He is our only hope. He is our only light. He is our only salvation. We are not condemned. Listen to the verse 18. "He who believes in him is not condemned." Do you believe in him? Do you believe? "He who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world." But you know what? Sometimes men flee from the light. Listen to this. "Men love darkness rather than light." Why? "Because their deeds were evil." They don't want the light to expose their evil deeds, so they flee. They flee from the light. They stay in the dark. They stay in the dark. The darkest hour of the Messiah was during his crucifixion. And when Jesus died, there was darkness over the earth for 3 hours. And think about that awful time. Why was there physical darkness over the land for 3 hours? I think it was a picture of the sins that Christ was bearing while he was on the cross. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying," and this is in Aramaic, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Now, if we know where that is from, that's from Psalm chapter 2, verse 1. That song was a prophecy of Christ, the Messiah, who would die on the cross. And so God the Father could not look on the sin, and Messiah was bearing the sins of the whole world, and that's why there was darkness. But you know, right before he died, he cried out again, "It is finished." And that means paid in full. So I believe, beginning with the darkness until he cried out, "It is paid in full," the sin debt of the entire world was being paid by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the light of the gospel brings light to dark souls. And this is where our responsibility comes into play. We know the truth. The truth is found in God's word. We know that Jesus is the light of the world, and those who believe in him can have the light of life. But let's take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 6. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 through 6. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. And whose mind's the god of this age? Who's the god of this age? Satan. What does he attempt to do? Blind people to the truth. Notice that keep people in darkness. Whose mind the god of this age has blinded, who do not, what? Believe. Lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord. Always said, salvation's not about me. The spotlight's not on me. When I give the gospel, it's not about me. Being good, turning from my sins, trying harder, joining a church, although that's important, but that's not how I go to heaven. The spotlight is on the light of the world, Jesus. He's the Savior. I'm not the Savior. I can't save anyone. I can give you the good news. Jesus is the light. He is the Savior. You need to believe in Him. And so Satan tries to keep people in the dark. He tries to keep people from believing. Notice, we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and we're simply a servant for Christ's sake. For it is God who commands the light to shine out of darkness. He's referring back to creation, when God created light out of darkness. And in a similar fashion, He can take a dark soul and create light through belief in the gospel. He has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful once you have stepped into the light. The light of God's truth, the light of God's word. Understanding that I'm saved forever. And it's nothing I could do, no good works that I can do that can merit God's favor. But believing that Jesus did it for me. Now, in the future, Jesus Christ will come for the church. And it's interesting that He is described in the book of Revelation. We have the next event on God's calendar called the rapture. And the rapture means that Christ will come for believers and take them to be with Him. Even those who are alive, they will be caught up, as in 1 Thessalonians 4:17. But in the book of Revelation, Revelation 22, verse 16, we see Jesus described this way. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David. Notice this. The bright and morning star. The bright and morning star. In a similar fashion, just like the planet Venus, that sometimes it comes up, it's in the evening, and then other times in the morning. And in the darkness of night, we have this brilliant star that appears in that dark night, shining. And Jesus Christ is shining today in a dark world. And one day He's coming for the church. He's going to take the church to be with Him. He will appear as a bright morning star. But then the world, though, will continue to enter into its darkest hour. And the darkest period before the dawn. And that is called the tribulation period. And that tribulation period will be a time of intense darkness. The book of Zephaniah mentions that in Zephaniah chapter 1. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 15. Now, if we think things are dark now, we ain't seen nothing yet. And hopefully, if you're a believer, you won't see it. And that's a good thing, good news. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 15. Notice this future period called tribulation. It's described as a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness. That will be the darkest period on this planet, when there will be no believers at the beginning left alive. We have an individual called the Antichrist will come, and eventually he will be world leader. But he's not the Savior. He's not the Savior. And Jesus Christ will come in His second coming and defeat that leader. And He will set up a kingdom of peace, a kingdom of righteousness, a kingdom of justice. historically for 1,000 years, and then on into the eternal state. His kingdom shall reign forever and ever. Just like we had the hymn by Levi that handles Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. Think about that day dawning upon the world. After a period of darkness, and it's dark now, and will get darker. But one day, the dawning will occur for this planet. And that will occur when the Son of Righteousness comes with healing in his wings. Let's take a look at Malachi. Malachi chapter 4. Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament. And we'll look at chapter 4. Right toward the end of the Old Testament, we had this prophecy. But to you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise. It's like the sun coming up in the morning. And notice the translation here. It says, with healing in his wings. And the word wings means rays, the sun rays. The sun rays. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. He's talking to the Jews here. Is speaking of blessing and prosperity for them. But the Son of Righteousness will come, and there will be a new day dawning upon this world. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3. Notice this. Isaiah chapter 60. Verses 1 through 3. And this is a prophecy of that coming kingdom by Christ. Arise, shine, for your light has come. Your light has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. This is the period before that time called the tribulation. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. And so the Lord Jesus Christ brings light. He brings light to a dark world. And what is your relationship to the light? Well, what do you need to do? Two things. First of all, you need to come to the light. Let's take a look at John chapter 12 once again. John chapter 12, verse 36. John 12, 36. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you might become sons of light. Let me read that again. While you have the light, the opportunity to believe in Jesus, believe in the light. He is the light of the world. Believe in him, that you might become sons of light. So we need to believe the gospel, believe who Jesus is and who he claims to be, the light of the world. And in John chapter 12, verse 46, he says, I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. You need to believe in him so that you won't abide in spiritual darkness. Believe in the light. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you may say, well, I've already believed in the light. I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, the one who can give me eternal life, the one who died on the cross and rose from the dead. I've already placed my personal faith in him as Savior. Then I'm addressing you, Christian. I'm addressing you, believer. What do you need to do in relationship to the light? You need to walk in the light. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. 1 John 1, verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sins. This is a message for believers. We need to walk in fellowship with that Savior. That's the beauty of the Christian life. Not only the fact that we can have eternal life and we can know for sure we're going to heaven today because of what Jesus did, but also I can live a life of fellowship with the Father and the Son by being obedient to His Word, by following the truth, by abiding in the light of His Word. The Word of God brings light. It brings light to a dark soul. And we need to abide in fellowship with the Lord. We need to abide in the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Think about believers, and this is you. This is true of you if you're a born-again believer. Listen to this description. You were once darkness. You were once darkness, but now you're light in the Lord. That's positional truth. That's who we are. We're light in the Lord. All believers are light in the Lord now if you're a believer. But then, our practice, we need to do what? Walk as children of light. Believer, walk like you belong in the light. We're not to walk like we belong in the darkness as a Christian. We're walking like we are light reflectors. You know, the moon reflects the light of the sun. And as believers, we're called to reflect the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. We need to radiate His character. We need to radiate Christ's likeness to the world in darkness. And that might lead to an opportunity to give the light of the gospel to those who believe in the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So I encourage you, if you're not a believer, place your faith in the Lord. And I remember as a child, I was in actually Christmas Day, a message in church. And this man who later became my Sunday school teacher came to faith in Christ on Christmas Day. What a wonderful time to come to the light, to come to the truth. And all you need to do is believe it. Believe it. Charles Wesley wrote a hymn in 1739. We sang it. It's called Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Listen to one of the lines of Hark the Herald. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. The Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all He brings. Risen with healing in His wings. Mild He lays His glory by. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. Do you have the second birth? You're physically alive. I see you here. Have you been born again? Have you been born again through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Come to the light. Come to the light. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You so much for the light of the world. Our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who brings light to a dark soul, the one who brings peace and joy to believers as we abide in the truth. We thank You so much for the birth of the Savior. We thank You, Lord, for all that means to us. We thank You, Lord, that His name is Jesus. And we thank You that He died on the cross to save us from our sins and give us everlasting life. I pray as believers we might be light bearers. We might reflect the glory of God in our soul and to others, and make the light attractive to the lost. Help us to be pleasing to You, to abide in fellowship. And Lord, we look forward to the appearance one day of that bright morning star. And until that time, help us to live in a dark world, shining forth and holding forth the word of light and life. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.